Let's turn in God's Word to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 12. The Gospel of John, chapter 12. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 50. John 12, 1 through 50. Help her if she needs help. John 12, and beginning in verse 1, these are the words of the living and true God. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which he had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people, the Jews, therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bare record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come, that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever, and how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" And Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, while ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them." These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Those are God's words. Here's the chapter we mentioned last Lord's Day that begins the week that leads up into a climax of Christ's humiliation, his death on the cross and burial. The first 11 verses detail how Mary honored Jesus by anointing the feet of Jesus, which then Judas Iscariot, the one who refused to love God and rather betrayed Jesus, rather loved riches, as there verse 5 focused on money. And beloved, this happens even in the courts of the church, as we are coming this week, Lord willing, to Presbytery. We have our Presbytery meeting this week for our session and other sessions meeting together. There's often in the courts of the church an over-focus or an over-emphasis. Even perhaps we have as a congregation sometimes, elders, deacons, an overabundance of focus on finances rather than on the promises of the Lord. And sometimes there can be a very fine line between godly stewardship and idolizing money, over against the very promises of God in the Great Commission and what He commands us to do. Where money is the reason for not church planting. Money is the reason for not doing what we are commanded by the Lord. Money is the reason that we do things instead of faith. And there is no faith. Judas Iscariot shows that here. He's focused on the money instead of on Jesus. Through verse 19, we have the account of the triumphal entry in which the many praise and bless the holy name of Jesus as the King of Israel, that He would save them. Through verse 26, even the Gentiles, the Greeks, it says, honor Jesus, longing to see Him. Sir, that we may see Jesus. Or that we would see Jesus, verse 21. And we're called along with the disciples there at that time. Verily, verily, I say unto you, it's verse 24. I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, just as if you were sowing seed, that's what happens to seed, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. These Greeks, the Gentiles, wanted to honor Jesus. They wanted to see him. To verse 36, the prayer of Jesus to the Father. The audible answer then of the Father as it thunders. Some people thought it was thunder, just as at Mount Sinai. And the time for Christ to die for the sins of his people, to be glorified, having come. He says, verse 31, now is the time for the devil to be cast out and defeated. For your sins to be atoned for, beloved. Then you must come to the light and walk with the light of the world, Jesus Christ. He says in our passage, I am come a light into the world. Verse 46. And to verse 41, quoting Isaiah, who prophesied of these Jews who would reject Jesus, reject not only his word but his miracles. How could they but by the hardening of the hearts, their hearts by the Lord? In verse 42 and 43, some chief rulers believed on Jesus, but would not confess him before men, because they feared man. They feared being excommunicated from the church, the synagogue, from worship. And then the remaining verse is the call to all of us to believe on Christ and not reject him. Today we are here called to believe on the Lord Jesus, the light of the world, who has come to die and rise from the dead for all who believe on him to save them from their guilt and sins. That's our calling. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful again for your word. We're thankful for the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Thankful that he is our Savior and that he speaks your word. We're thankful that what he did, what he said, was all in accordance with your will. And so lived a perfect righteous life as he declares here. Living a perfect righteous life for us. Here we also see the wicked we heard about this morning, who are troubled upon hearing about Jesus Christ, the Mediator King. Even the chief priests, upon hearing where Jesus is, they desired not only to put Jesus to death, but also Lazarus. The very proof that he is the living and true God. For only God can raise up the dead to life. Lazarus was the proof of that. And they wanted not to believe, but being hardened in their hearts, they sought to put Lazarus to death, the proof to death. And yet they could not do so. For Lazarus is testified in the Scriptures. And the Scriptures cannot be blotted out. For they are your eternal word. We're thankful for the life-giving word. Pray that you would use it in our hearts, our lives, for your glory. And you would cause your people to believe and obey your word in the righteousness of Christ alone, by your grace alone, as your Holy Spirit works in us alone. For we are perfectly frail to be unable to keep it of ourselves. Of ourselves, outside of Christ, we can do nothing, your word says. And so, Father, we're thankful for your grace by your Spirit and the Word and Christ your Son. Thankful for your grace and your covenant mercy. And even as we continue in sin, yes, we're praising you that your grace abounds unto us sinners who are kept by you forever. And though we are completely undeserving of this, we do plead you would forgive us of our sins. We've committed many. This morning we heard about a few of them, of the commandments that you give to us. One here that we've read was the command to believe. And there is often, every day, the moment, many moments that we don't believe. And so we plead just as John the Baptist did. We believe, but help our unbelief. And show mercy to us. Father, this evening we plead for to you for Mark, who's not feeling well, has some sort of rash and not eating well, and so we pray that you'll heal his body and strengthen him. If he needs doctors, we pray that you would give wisdom to Phil and Julie, and ask that you would uphold them. And know it's quite hard for Julie, as Mark doesn't sleep well. We pray that you'll uphold her and strengthen her. Father, we'd ask that you would the same be with Dina and help her energy and strength and give her sufficient rest that she needs and heal her body. We do pray you would be with Jeannie in her therapy for her knee, and ask that you would strengthen the muscles around her knee and help her to have more mobility and ease of movement. Father, we ask that you would be the God of our bodies as you are, and heal them where they need healing, if it is your will to heal us at this time. But we know it is your will to heal your people, even in our bodies, so you'll give us new glorified bodies at some point, and we'll be perfectly healed, and which we long for, because we know at the same time we'll be perfectly healed in our souls and our hearts. And so, Father, turn us from our sins unto you, the living God, who receives us for Christ's sake. We plead and ask for your help, that you would be with our presbytery this week as we meet, and all the elders who gather, and many perhaps controversial things, even a judicial thing to deal with. And so help us, grant us wisdom about such things, actually two judicial things. And so, Father, we ask that you would grant discernment and wisdom, help to the elders who meet, and above all, that we would stand upon your word, the truth of the gospel, and not do what's easy, not be like even Judas here, who would be so focused on money that we forget the gospel or the Great Commission. And that we plead now in faith that you would grant to us a heart for the gospel going forward, that many sinners would hear and believe amongst the Jews, but also the Gentiles, knowing your promises, even that Christ reigns as King now over all nations and all peoples and tongues and tribes. And so we have hope. Father, grant us also success in church planting. Pray for those churches in our presbytery who are in the midst of that in Houston and Oklahoma City, and really very much in San Antonio and Columbia. And pray that elders would be sent, raised up, and ordained in these places. And Father, we ask that you'd provide pastors for the churches who need them in Manhattan and Laramie and Denver. And you would also raise up men for pastoral ministry, men to be elders and deacons, and even missionaries to foreign nations, that your gospel would be carried forth. We pray that you would grow us to such an extent that one day we might, even soon, we might plant a church and keep the gospel going forth into Missouri. We know there are very few faithful churches in this state. And Father, this we pray with faith, knowing you'll bring it about. For Christ sits on the throne, and these are in accordance with your promises. And so we plead you grant us the faith to believe that you're able to do these things, and you will do these things. We pray for our nation also, and our rulers, judges. Often the scriptures call them gods with little g, not false gods, but those who rule. We pray for them that you would call them to yourself. You turn them from their sin and wickedness and cause them to covenant with Christ. You cause them to see how wicked they are in murdering of and continuing the murdering of children, the murdering even of adults, any who want to be commit suicide. The murdering of many, even through various sins that are encouraged in our day, not even looked down upon. Of course, there's no law against them. There's encouragement of sin and the sexual sins and coveting and stealing and lying. And so, Father, even breaking the Sabbath, which has become so prevalent. Father, in all these things we plead for your mercy, and that for the few righteous remain, we pray that you would hold forth your great judgments upon this nation and the many nations of which must come and covenant with you in Christ your Son. We ask all these things, pleading that your will would be done, in the name of Jesus, who is the light of the world and the Son of God and Son of Man. We pray in his name. Amen.